There are a few moments. There are a few moments from my childhood that I can remember with perfect clarity. Reaching back into the cluttered pantry of my memory, I can pull out a picture-perfect memory of a lesson that my dad taught me about God. We were in the car, a Volkswagen Quantum station wagon with leatherette seats that stuck to my thighs in the summer and manual door locks that looked like little black plastic golf tees. I was a child prone to asking many questions, especially whenever I was alone with my dad, and on this occasion, I was grilling him about our pre-dinner prayers. We would pray the Lord's Prayer, but sometimes it would begin, "Our Father, who art in heaven," and on other days it would begin, "Our Mother, who art in heaven," and I wanted to know what that was and what that was all about. He considered for a moment and said, God isn't just a man like I'm a man and like you someday will be a man. God is also a woman, like your mother is a woman. God isn't limited like we are. And so when we think of God sometimes as our father and sometimes as our mother, it helps us to respect God. And it helps us to respect women too. I wasn't raised in the church, but I had a pretty good private tutor. I carried that theology lesson from my dad with me. I carried that early theology lesson with me into my adult faith. And although I believed that my dad was right about God not being exclusively masculine, I figured, I had this sneaking suspicion that if I went digging, if I really went looking in the Bible, then I would find that the Bible presents God as being exclusively like a man, and any feminine imagery that I would bring for God, I would need to sort of sneak in the back way. So I was honestly surprised. I was honestly surprised to find that not only was my dad correct, but the Bible itself is supporting what he had to say to me that day. The idea that God is not exclusively a man appears throughout Scripture. Indeed, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, "God is not a man," quote, but it appears in greatest technicolor splendor, in the oddest of places, in the book of Proverbs. Now, I did not expect to find feminine imagery for God in the book of Proverbs, because as the name implies, Proverbs is a collection of advice. It's rules to live by. Things such as, a generous person will be enriched, and the one who gives water will get water. Or, rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Or, better to meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs than to confront a fool immersed in folly. It's practical advice. It's advice about how to succeed in life. And there are hundreds and hundreds of these sayings that make up the book of Proverbs. Taken all together, though, they sort of point in the direction of wisdom itself. They're a collection of how to behave in a wise way, but they're pointing toward wisdom itself. What does this have to do with feminine imagery for God? Well, here I'm going to need to pause and take a significant detour and clear up a little bit of probably likely confusion in translation from Hebrew into English. You see, in English, the word wisdom is a very broad concept, almost to the point of being vague. It's not really clear what a person means when they say wisdom, but in Hebrew, not the case. Wisdom in Hebrew means something very specific. The word for wisdom in Hebrew is chokhmah. And when chokhmah is applied to a person, it means something along the lines of technical skill. But to understand the full extent of this idea, you need to combine the ideas of intelligence and logic and specialized knowledge and scientific endeavor and the art of influencing people. You see, an auto mechanic has wisdom about engines, and a doctor has wisdom about the human body, and a pilot has wisdom about flying airplanes. To be wise is to understand the laws that undergird how the world works. and to use that understanding as a way of shaping the world and controlling the unfolding of events. Wisdom in Hebrew is something like power. It means the power to change the world because you know the way the world works. It's difficult to overstate the importance of this central idea of wisdom because wisdom itself is said to be a part of the fabric of the universe, according to the book of Proverbs, what we heard earlier today. Wisdom is not a human trait like hair color or height. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is a divine being. Wisdom is something like a person. Wisdom is a person who assisted God in the act of creating the world. Oh, and if you recall, wisdom is a woman. Wisdom is a woman who is present in the act of creation. The existence of wisdom, she precedes the creation of the world. And it is wisdom through whom and with whom and according to whose design God creates the world. Wisdom's fingerprints are all over everything in creation, and wisdom is woven into the fabric of existence itself. More than woven, actually, wisdom is the weaver. She is the choreographer of the dance between the stars and the comets. She is the architect of the social order that governs the life of bees. She is the judge whose ruling established that the laws of physics shall be everywhere and eternally the same. Wisdom is a divine being who designs the laws that govern the world. To be wise is to grasp those laws and to use that understanding to shape the world and control the unfolding of events. Lady Wisdom, she is a co-creator of the world itself. Without any anxiety at all, the book of Proverbs says that there is a divine woman who is present with God in the beginning. Proverbs 8, wisdom cries out in the streets. In the squares, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out, ages ago, I was set up before the beginning of the earth. Then I was beside God like a master worker, and I was daily the Lord's delight. At the first, before the beginning, she was with God. Remind you of anything? Any other bells ringing? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. It's the same story. It's the same idea. Twice the Bible describes there being a co-creator who is present during the creation of the world, something like a person who is there with God through whom creation comes to be. In the Gospel of John, it is the Word made flesh, born that we no more must die. In the book of Proverbs, it is Lady Wisdom who gives to all who follow her life abundant. In the book of John, it takes 14 verses to establish who the Word of God is. In the book of Proverbs, it takes 14 verses to establish who wisdom is. Now, don't get me wrong, the Bible is not confused about creation. The Bible is not confused about there being two universes, the creation of one of which was overseen by a man and the creation of the other of which was overseen by a woman. The Word and wisdom do not point toward separate and competing truths. They point toward the same central, fundamental truth within Christian faith, the radical notion that within God, within the very being of the eternal and infinite God, within God, there is something like a human person. Within God, there is something like a human person who helped to create all of creation. And men do not have a superior or truer claim to that. The co-eternal, co-creator of all that is can be equally well understood as a man or a woman and are presented as a man and as a woman in two different places in the Bible without any anxiety on the part of the Holy Writ. The Word who was in the beginning and in whom was life and light, we need Him to understand God. That's true. But to understand God, we also need Lady Wisdom. the master worker who was ever the delight of God, as she drew a circle on the face of the deep and sunk the foundations of creation upon immutable law. That is the witness of Scripture. And so it is idolatry. It is idolatry to exclusively portray God as being like a man. It is idolatry because it cuts away the femininity of God that is presented in the Bible. Exclusively portraying God as a man does not glorify God. It glorifies men, and it degrades women. So do not engage in that idolatry. And resist it. Resist it when people try to peddle you an idolatrous image of God as being only like a man. Women are equally imbued with divine dignity. And God is best known, including the masculine and feminine, in equal spirit. If we wish to be true to Scripture, if we wish to be true to the witness of Scripture, then we must vehemently and unwaveringly champion the equal dignity of women. To do less shows that we do not understand human nature, and shows that we do not understand God's nature either. Perhaps all this parsing of Hebrew words, perhaps all of this delving into old books, maybe my dad said it best after all in that summer car ride. God isn't just a man, like I'm a man and like you someday will be a man. God is also a woman, like your mother is a woman. God is not limited the way that we are. So when we sometimes think of God as our father and we sometimes think of God as our mother, it helps us to respect God. And it helps us respect women, too. Thanks, Dad. I try to remember it.